Pastor Ray Bentley addresses questions about God's will for us.
So many times I've heard people say, I wish I knew what the will of God was for me. And what we really mean is we wish that we could look at a little movie screen. This is what's going to happen in your life. Here's where you're going to go. Here's what I'm going to provide, and kind of give you a little five-year plan. How many of you think that would be great? And we want to negotiate with God, but that's not how God leads us.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Committed followers of Christ want to do the will of God. And doing the will of God starts with knowing the will of God. But knowing the will of God often starts with more questions than answers. Well, today, Pastor Ray helps us learn to lean on God for direction, one step at a time. Let's listen.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them to the book of Acts, chapter 8. We're following this young man named Philip. And there are a couple of young men that were chosen after the explosion of the church in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches, 3,000 get saved. A couple of days later, he and John are walking in, and there's a lame man, and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter reached down and grabbed that lame man by the hand, lifted him up, and while he lifted him up, his feet, literally his bones, his ankles came into healing, and the man on Solomon's porch began to walk and leap and to praise God. So a large crowd gathered, and Peter said, "Hey, I guess it's time to preach." And he preached again, and an additional 2,000 believers were added to the church. So now, you know, and they said that this is just counting the men. So you have a church that's probably 20 to 30,000, and they're meeting from house to house. They're also meeting on Solomon's porch. But as the disciples, you know, begin ministering and sharing the gospel, and a great mighty move of God is happening, people are so touched with the love of God that they begin selling their farms and their homes and their real estate and whatever they had, and they were bringing it to the apostles' feet. I really believe that those early believers felt like the kingdom was being manifest on the earth right then and there. And the apostles found themselves standing with lines of people distributing food and clothing and whatever needs that there may be. They all shared everything in common. It must have been a glorious experience for the church at that time. But they realized, hey, we can't do this all day. We need to go preach in other places and cities. Jesus told us to go from Jerusalem to Judea, then Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. So they appointed 7 men, 2 of those young men to kind of take care of the needs of the people. One of them was Stephen. We read his story, became the first martyr of the church. But now there's another young man, and his name is Philip. And we read his story. And so we're going to continue the story of Philip and how God used this young man. Now, he's a deacon. He's distributing the needs, you know, the physical needs of the church. But he was an evangelist. And I want to give an encouragement to you that God wants to raise up men and women all throughout the body of Christ, reveal your gifts to you. Because I believe that we are right now experiencing the greatest surge, the greatest move of God's Spirit literally around the world. The greatest harvest of all time is for such a time as this. Can I hear an amen on that? So in chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, so I'm going to start off here. We don't have a lot of life lessons, but let's start with this. Because we're going to talk about how God leads us. In fact, the title of the message is How the Holy Spirit Leads Us. And I want to say this, God leads us by the Holy Spirit one step at a time. So beginning in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And so he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. So I want you to stop there for just 1 minute and let's look at what God is saying here. It's interesting, the ways of God. First, it gives us an insight into how the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. He gives us one thing to do. He told Philip, I want you, Philip, to leave where you are in Samaria, and I want you to go down to Gaza, and I want you just to go there, and I'll lead you and guide you in that way. And that's all he told him. And we read that he was obedient, and he went and he did that. So many times I've heard people say, I wish I knew what the will of God was for me. And what we really mean is we wish that we could look at how many of you would love to see a little movie screen? This is what's going to happen in your life. Here's where you're going to go. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to provide, and kind of give you a little 5-year plan. How many of you think that would be great? Yeah. I would love that. But that's not how God leads us. God said to Philip, go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then he adds to him, by the way, where you're going is desert. This is the first step to the will of God. He gives him one thing to do, and he does not tell him why. He does not tell him where he's going to go. He just says, hey, Philip, I want you to leave now. I want you to go down to Gaza. By the way, it's kind of a desert place. That's my will for your life. Now, he could have stopped there and said, wait a second, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why do you want me to go down there? And it's reasonable why he would ask that question, because there was a revival going on in Samaria. God's Holy Spirit was being poured out. There were people that were coming to the Lord by the hundreds. Revival was happening. And now God says, I want you to leave the revival, and I want you to go down to Gaza, which is kind of a desert place. And that's all he said. And I love that Philip says, he went down to Gaza. He did exactly what God asked him to do. A lot of times we like to buy time and say, Lord, okay, you want me to go down to Gaza? I would like to go down to Gaza if that's what you want me to do, but could you tell me a few more things of what you're doing and why? We like to buy time, right? We want to find out what's the plan? Why do you want me to leave a revival where people are coming to the Lord left and right? And you want me to go down to this strange place? By the way, Lord, you just said it's a desert. There's no people there. And we want to negotiate with God. And so, you know, for all of us, that's a place where we say, Lord, am I going to be obedient to you or am I not? We like to find out if you'll tell me why you want me to go down there and what you're going to do when I get there. Well, really what we're saying is, then I'll decide if I want to actually obey or not, right? But the truth of the matter is, God is not waiting for our opinion. Now, I have counseled God, I have to admit, many times, because he'll tell me to do something, and I don't fully understand why, I don't see the logic of it, and I'll kind of just say, I'll buy time by saying, Lord, I just want to wait till I have a further understanding of your plan. And what happens is, nothing. I'm waiting. And I say, Lord, I'm not getting anything more. He says, well, I'm not going to give you anything more until you obey what I told you. When God came to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to leave your home, your people, your land, your country, your culture, and go to a land I will show you. Now, Abraham could have said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. Show me where we're going. Could you give me a map? But there was no map. There was no destination. There was no, we're going to end up here or there. He just said, get up and go. And as you get up and as you pack your things and as you go, I will lead you and I will guide you and I will show you where you need to go. So I love how if you don't do the first step, God will never show you what the next step is. You hear what I'm saying? one step at a time. The Holy Spirit leads us one step at a time. So are you wondering what God's will is for your life in the immediate near future? What does the future look like? And what should I do? And I want to ask you this question. Has God told you anything that you ought to be doing or being obedient to Him now? And if He has shown you something and you're waiting for maybe more information, more understanding, more video of what it will look like when I get there, I want to encourage you to just obey what He's shown you. Just do the first step. Obey what God has shown you, one step at a time.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners.
Dear Pastor Ray, thank you and God bless you. My mom and I listen to you faithfully and have for a long time. Please accept our apology as we should have contacted you sooner. You need to know how effectively the Lord is using you as His vessel to convey His saving truth. Please stay on our station. And yes, we're sending some support.
We're so encouraged when we hear that these daily studies are blessing people. It's a vote for the program to continue here, and your support helps make that possible. It helps cover the costs of broadcasting. Would you let us hear from you today? Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, zip code 92127. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
I want you to notice this. In verses 27 through 29, we learn that God sees every heart yearning for Him. Look with me in verse 27. It says, "And so he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake his chariot.'" I love this because here, this Ethiopia that we're talking about is much larger than, if you go on a map and you look up where Ethiopia is today, it was a much larger section of the northern part of Africa. And it's where literally, if you remember the story in the Old Testament with King David, you remember the story of the Queen of Sheba? This is where the Queen of Sheba may have come from Africa and from ancient Ethiopia. And she was told about the glory of this king who lived in the city of Jerusalem in ancient Israel. And she literally traveled there to see with her own eyes what she'd only heard by tales and by stories. And she said when she got there, "The half was not told me of how beautiful, glorious, and the wisdom that Solomon had." Now, it's interesting that the story and history kind of indicates that when the Queen of Sheba went there and spent that time with Solomon, you know the kind of man that Solomon was. Well, let's just say the Queen of Sheba, when she was returning home, had a little gift from Solomon that was very personal, which was a baby and which was a child. And literally, she then came home because when she was there, she believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She forsook the other gods of their ancestors and began to believe in the one true God of Israel and of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And literally, to this day, did you know that there are Ethiopian Jews who in modern times, now we've looked into their DNA, and they have Jewish DNA that literally go and trace their roots all the way back to Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. And not only that, so you have all of these Africans who know all about Judaism. And even within all of the Ethiopian Jews, there are many of the Ethiopians who are Jewish, but who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're Messianic Ethiopian Jews. How's that? Our God is an awesome God. He opened their eyes through a queen And then he brought that genealogy and that truth and that divine revelation, and it began to literally multiply and prosper and be blessed. And then the Christians came, and they shared that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of David, the anointed one who died on the cross for our sins. And they believed on him, and there they are even to this day. So I love this story, because here is Philip, and because he was obedient, he went down to the desert, even though he didn't know why, and it was all alone. But then he sees this Ethiopian who is reading a scroll from Isaiah. Now, let me tell you something about that. This man who was in charge of the treasury talks about Candace, which was the title for an Ethiopian queen, monarch of that day. It would have been a scroll of Isaiah. They didn't have books in those days. And what that tells us is that this man was very, very wealthy, not only in charge, probably of much of the wealth of ancient Ethiopia, and Jewish, because he had gone to Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost, and he had this tremendous hunger for God. But he did not find what he was looking for. And yet his heart yearned for God. It yearned for the truth. There was a spiritual hunger that was deep within him. And I believe that's a beautiful thing, because what it shows us is that God knows every yearning heart, every seeking heart. And I want to say this, as I've been praying about where we are, prophetically, where our nation is, I don't think it would be hard for you to imagine we have some very, very tough, rocky times coming in our near future. And I want you to know this, that with all of the shakeups that will be coming, there are going to be many, many hearts that are going to be looking up, and they're going to be crying out for God. They're going to be yearning for God. They're going to be saying, I need a divine revelation. If there is a God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to reach out to me. I need you. I need your peace. I need your love. I hunger and thirst after that. Can I hear an amen on that? Yes. God's Spirit is working on them. So how beautiful that God saw the revival that ignited in Samaria, but he saw this man that was very powerful and very wealthy, because to own a scroll, they didn't have books in those days. For him to be reading Isaiah means he had a scroll. And in order to have a scroll, it meant that somebody had to take years to write down every letter of the prophecy of Isaiah on a parchment, and they were at great cost and great price. He's a wealthy man. He was a powerful man. He was a man of influence. And he was a man that was hungry for the things of God. And I want to say this, there are going to be many people who have money, who have power, who have influence, who are hungering for God right now. They're yearning for him. And God needs a man or a woman who will be obedient to him, even though their life is rich, like Philip's was in Samaria, even though their life is overflowing with activity and with fruitfulness and with signs of God's blessing, and revival is breaking out. And yet God spoke to this man, Philip, and he said, Philip, I need you to leave the revival, leave all of the blessings, even though all kinds of people are responding to the message of the gospel here now. I've got others who can take that. I need you to go down to Gaza, out in the desert place. And when you do that, I'll show you what you need to do next. So here he goes. He's obedient. He goes down to Gaza. He's in the desert. So it's not hard to find, wow, there's a caravan. That's an important guy, because he's got this entourage all around him, and he's in this big coach, and he's reading a scroll. And then because he was obedient, Philip was obedient to the first thing that God told him, leave here that's comfortable, obey me, go down to the desert, and I'll tell you what to do next. So now he's down there, he sees that coach, he sees that important man, he sees him sitting there reading something, and now God gives him the second thing he needs to do. Do you see that? Because he was obedient to the first thing, He was able to be obedient to the second piece of God's will for his life. And that's how it is. That's how God does it. One little step at a time. But when you do the first step, that opens your eyes to the second step. Hey, you see that guy in that coach there? Walk up to him, introduce yourself to him, and ask him if there's anything that you can help him with. I love that. That's what God will do in your life. He'll bring you the next step, and you'll see it, and you'll walk up and say, is there anything that I can do for you? Is there anything that, you know, what are you doing? So look with me now in verse 30. So Philip ran to him because the Spirit said, go near and overtake this chariot. So I want you to notice he ran to him. He not only was obedient to God, but he ran. He had to run because they were in a chariot with horses. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture and which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Hallelujah. Amen? I love this. And here's, you know, my simple point for verses 30 through 35. We are always to preach Jesus to people. Can I hear an amen on that? Always bring them to Jesus. Here's the scroll of Isaiah. And this man, you know, as he was, you know, walking up to him, and he hears him reading Isaiah. I want you to notice that Philip was immediately ready to say, I know what you're reading, and I know what it means. I love the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where Paul the Apostle is talking to young Timothy, and he says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. When you're ready and you're studying and you're prepared, you can share whatever God may bring a situation to you that you're able to bring Jesus into the middle of it. Now, here's the glorious thing. It really didn't matter where in the entire Old Testament that this Ethiopian eunuch was reading. Anywhere from Genesis to Malachi, no matter where he was reading, it would be a revelation of Jesus. Did you know the entire Old Testament, every story, every chapter, every paragraph, every illustration, it all points to Jesus.
Good insight from Pastor Ray Bentley. And obviously, we're not finished with his presentation. He has more to come from our study of Acts chapter 8 here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's study is titled, How the Spirit Leads Us. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you're there, under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his book called As the Days of Noah, a prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full series called The Elijah Chronicles. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Acts. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.